Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the On Track podcast. Thanks for joining us today. Today, we speak with Bob Martin, who's called the Wizard of Make, who's a senior staff engineer at Microchip. Bob's going to talk about the keynote he's going to give at Altium Live 19 in San Diego, October 9th through 11th, and we hope you can join us there. Bob's going to teach about how you can go from prototyping on an Arduino board into transitioning that into a production-ready board that you can manufacture and scale. So I think you're going to enjoy this talk. Lean in, enjoy. I'll see you on the other side. Welcome to Altium's On Track podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media. Well, Bob, welcome so much. We're really excited to talk to you today and learn more about you and what you do at Microchip. So thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much for being here. I'm looking forward to a good hour of conversation or so.
Me too. Well, before we get deep in the weeds on the meat of our conversation, can you just tell us a little bit about your personal professional background and also give us a thumbnail about Microchip?
Certainly. So I am Canadian, for those of you who don't pick up on the accent later on in our conversation. I graduated out of the University of Saskatchewan in 1987 and spent 8 years or so at a small R&D firm doing a lot of industrial embedded control systems. Moved to the Bay Area in 1995, spent a decade at National Semiconductor supporting their microcontrollers. Bopped around a couple startups for a while, ended up at Atmel, and then the acquisition of Microchip of Atmel by Microchip in 2016 landed me at Microchip with a fairly unusual title, the Wizard of Make, which is which originated from a job description I had at Atmel. So. Again, bringing the legacy of the makerspace and Arduino into Microchip, being one of the world's leaders in microcontroller technology. We're more than just microcontrollers. We have a vast supply of networking and analog and power supplies and all the things, but the primary focus of Microchip is still the microcontroller. So that's where I found my home now.
Very good. So tell us a little bit more about the Wizard of Make. I found that a very endearing title, but I really wanted to know what is behind that title.
So the Wizard of Make came about of a discussion that progressed my job description at Atmel. I was managing the 32-bit microcontroller team. There's a bit of AVR in there as well, but I came more and more enamored, being a maker myself, with the Maker Faire. I've attended every Maker Faire in the Bay Area since it started, because I coming from the prairies in Saskatchewan, we just built things, go-karts and little boats and whatever. So the Wizard of Make kind of we're trying to come up with a title for me, and my friend in the trade show business said, "Well, Makester," and I said, "No, that doesn't. That gives me images of plaid and man buns and things like that." And I had been the word wizard had come up in describing some of my talents, and I don't want to sound too precocious here, but and then we just sat down and said, I went to the Marcom team and said, "Well, what about Wizard of Make? That seems very." Reasonable, and we just rolled from there. So I handed my applications team over to one of the most senior guys. He's a wonderful guy, and just became the Wizard of Make.
So. Interesting. So I'm going to take a little side trip that I didn't prepare you for, but it'll be a fun side trip, I promise.
Okay.
So sometimes I like to ask our guests on the podcast. You kind of gave me a little hint in there, which is why I'm asking you, is what were some of the indicators when you were a young boy or in your youth that you might end up in an engineering career?
Oh, that's easy. My grandmother, I was raised basically by my grandparents through a story we don't have enough time to discuss here. But my grandmother stood this and would buy me toys that she knew I would take apart. And to this day, I get presents, Christmas presents and birthday presents from friends who in the note says, how long before you take this apart? So to see how it works. And that was very true. You know, I would get these massive or, you know, these really nice trucks or whatever, and I would take them apart to see how they worked. Or I would get Lego or Meccano, which I guess in the US is called Erector sets, but now it's Meccano, right?
Right.
And just build stuff. And it was just a natural calling. I understood electricity from a very young age, and my brain was just wired, no pun intended, to understand electronics. So
yeah,
that was a really good indication that, yeah, my grandmother said, leave him alone, quit yelling at him for taking apart the toys. He's in his zone.
So. He's got the knack.
I've got the knack, yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing. The stories are common, and so I like to ask it because everybody's a little bit different, but so similar in the same thing. Like, what did you take apart, or what did you fix, or, you know, and it usually...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find the conversations I have at the Maker Faires, you know, we seek each other out, especially in electronic civilians, where immediately, you know, there's something about this person that has a similar background.
You know, Lawrence Romine, who works here, I think it was him that gave me this idea, is he said, you know, I've worked with engineers and PCB designers for years and years, and you know, the stereotype that engineers are socially awkward or whatever, I find to be utterly false. I get along great. And Lawrence said, well, he goes, it's not that engineers are socially awkward, it's just nobody gets what they're talking about, and that's what's interesting to them. And if they start sort of geeking out and talking about these things with normal people, they won't get them, so they just don't talk to them. But if they know that you can hang with them and talk about stuff that's interesting to them, he goes, no social awkwardness. I go, it's kind of true.
One of the highest compliments that was ever paid to me was another trade show manager I worked with at National Semiconductor told me that, Bob, it's like you explain things in such a way that even if I don't understand what you're talking about, I still think that I understand what I'm talking about. So
that's a good one. Yeah, I used to carry around I mean, this will date me, but I used to carry around a SIM module, like either 1 megabyte or 4 megabyte SIM module with gold fingers on it on my keychain. And the only reason I did that was it was an AV tool. When people asked me what I did, I could go, I make these. Because if I tried to explain it, it just would go badly and whatever. Yeah. So that was just my AV tool. Okay, so sorry for the little sidetrack, but
that's okay. That was fine.
So you, I'm excited to announce here, are going to be one of our keynote speakers at Altium Live, and I love that. There's two of you really that are keynotes at Altium Live in San Diego this year that are really not kind of the usual suspects in our PCB design world. You know, there's kind of a rotating queue of these sort of luminary guys or these guys that are pretty well known. But I love that you're a little bit different and interesting in that your talk is called Moving from Prototype to Production with Arduino, Effortless Design Provided by Altium and Microchip. And I've been learning from you and our team here how Arduino's moved from more than just a hobbyist platform to something that professional engineers can use to do prototypes or prove out a concept. And so I wanted to hear, and I wanted to have you share a little bit about the types of things that you're going to share without giving away all the goodies
right.
At Altium Live. And So tell us about that talk. And then, you know, I think we should probably start with, okay, I've done a proof of concept on an Arduino platform, reference design, whatever, and now I'm going to move it to production and what that process is like.
Indeed, yeah. So, you know, back in the beginnings, the Arduino was considered more of a hobbyist toy kind of environment, not getting a lot of, you know, street cred in the professional world.
Right.
Working with Arduino and Microchip, slash Atmel now being a primary semiconductor supplier for Arduino, I became deeply involved in this cycle of moving all these ideas. And there are many facets of it, not just people looking to make this, you know, cool little commercial product. But in a lot of talks I've given, a lot of classes I've given, I've had people like test engineers, mechanical engineers, who've really rapidly prototyped because they don't need to learn how to all the nitty-gritties of C or C++. They've been able to implement an electromechanical system very quickly. I had a gentleman that came all the way from New York City, worked for Xerox, to attend one of my classes once, which doesn't sound too impressive, but the fact that it was a fairly small, isolated class and not at a conference was very flattering. So there are ways now this started at Atmel, and Microchip has embraced this. Because there's a significant amount of designs and technology now that you don't need to start over again. And my talk is going to be covering on, if you have this idea, I'm going to tell you both in mostly in hardware, because it's a hardware conference, but right. I'm also going to bring up the software point of view, so you don't have to start over again. There are various steps. And because I work closely with Arduino, they're trying to solve some of these problems as well. They understand as well as we do, as the semiconductor manufacturer, of the amount of effort that's gone in. Let's not throw the whole bucket away.
Right.
And it's not patching the bucket. It's just building a better bucket or a better system.
Right.
And so that's what my talk is primarily going to focus this time on, hardware. And there are ways to optimize your transition over, make your transition easier for production.
Yeah. You know, and you and I talked about this on our phone call last week, which I just find interesting. And again, I'm sort of a very pedestrian in that I'm not an engineer, but I noticed that the lines are blurring so much between, you know, software, hardware, mechanical, and that I think more and more engineers are asked to have their hands in a little bit of all of it, right? And be really involved on this sort of systems down thinking. So,
yeah, no, absolutely. Right now, just the complexity of the systems, however, the ease of use of, let's say, Arduino and other systems over top of that has really allowed engineers to explore a bunch of systems all at the same time, or if they're comfortable of doing that. And certainly because of the ease of now of using, you know, let's say Arduino to prototype and get the system going, I like it, you know, I liken it to the mechanical guys who are going, it's just a really fancy lawn sprinkler timer, right?
Right.
You want to turn this motor on, you want to turn it off. But yeah, absolutely. And this system knowledge now is becoming really important, because if you're rapid prototyping, you need to be able to talk to your mechanical design teams. If you even have one, it might be your Uncle Larry who's the mechanic, right?
Right.
But yeah, absolutely. Certainly electromechanical now.
Yeah.
And packaging.
Yeah. Yeah.
3D printing has accelerated that, right? Now you just 3D print a package up.
Yeah, which is phenomenal. And that's been fun to watch, too. And again, on one hand, for the hobbyist or, well, we'll get into this kind of persona later. I'm going to put that on ice for now. Talk about, you know, what you mean by some quick paths to production when going, say, from Arduino prototype into a production-ready product?
Okay, so obviously there are, if you look at a lot of the Arduino platforms, it's not going to be all that cost-effective to drop one of the, you know, a lot of the Arduino platforms and drop them in. The form factor's wrong. There's extra parts. The testability, there's a whole bunch of issues. Arduino, as I said, is recognized as trying to come up with new product that where you can just lay their modules down. Very soon, in a few weeks, I'm visiting Arduino to further discuss this progression. As they've moved, they released four boards earlier this year that have castellated pads, which allows you to just reflow directly to the boards. So there's concepts of what you really want to do is not recreate the entire Arduino platform. You want to recreate the programming environment and the CPU or the microcontroller environment. What's the easiest way to do that? So on various Arduino platforms, there are things that you need and there are things that you don't. And I'm going to tell you what you can keep and what you can discard to keep your production costs down. And that ties in with Altium and whatever is making sure or working with, you know, people like Ben Jordan, who's, you know, we'll be talking more down there on making sure that the resources between Microchip and Altium are there. We'd like to get to the point where you can just drop down an Arduino Nano like a voltage regulator, right? I think that's a really good goal to go for. And then, you know, there's concepts of how are you going to test this now? How are you going to put this system together? You know, again, maybe it was your kids or whatever testing this in the garage, right? As you're building this up, but you need to think about, you know, and I'm going to talk about this, like, where do you put test points? Why do you put test points? And why are these better than, you know, always insertion, you know, like connector insertions or things like that? Testing cost is very expensive. Right. Optimizing, you know, BOMs, you know, bill of materials. Are there parts, you know, when people are building stuff, sometimes people are not familiar or comfortable with contract manufacturers. Hmm. What are some of the considerations? And I'm not going to do a huge deep dive into CMs. But these are some of the considerations when you're talking to contract manufacturers. Some of them are not comfortable without asking you, can I substitute this other part? Things
right.
like that.
Right.
These are the unicorn moments where, you know, you're building thousands of boards now, but there's all these little steps along the way where that people don't think about the scaling as much as they should.
Right.
But I'm going to mostly concentrate during my keynote on the hardware aspect of it, is making sure your hardware is, you know, is better testable, is better designed for product, you know, quicker production and test.
Mm-hmm.
At of course, everybody wants the lower BOM costs.
Now, you've talked about some of the ecosystems that have sort of enabled this, like Adafruit, you know, Circuit Maker.
Right.
Can you talk about sort of the impact of this whole ecosystem on sort of enabling this?
Yeah, it's been incredible. Not only Arduino, but again, companies like SparkFun, Adafruit, Pololu, it's electronic Lego. I build a lot of systems actually will be showing off one of those systems in another talk that's happening. My colleague Pete Wilson is going to go on to talk about dropping down RF modules, like pre-certified RF modules on designs. And that design is a weather station that I originally designed using modules from both, and Microelectronica gets another shout out. They're another design partner because they all have their standard pinouts, but they're very easy to use. And you know, these modules are relatively inexpensive and allows people to, it's almost plug and play. It's literally plug and play because they're breaking out surface mount modules onto like pin headers, which allows people to just hook stuff up.
Yeah.
Know these ecosystems, again, a significant part because you have an Arduino and without plugging anything into it, all you can do is blink an LED or
right,
a scale port. But the ability to plug in a temperature pressure sensor And immediately get it going, because another part of this ecosystem is that, you know, Adafruit and SparkFun are leaders in, and Microelectronica, of course. Not only do they provide the hardware, but they provide the software support in the Arduino libraries. And that's the other key to this quick prototyping, is if there's a part available from this website or one of these breakout boards, you plug it in. If you hook it up right and load the software, it just works. That was kind of alien in the embedded world 10 years ago.
You know, right.
I've struggled for hours just to get an LED to blink back in the day.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Significant step. The ability to rapidly prototype something is just phenomenal now.
Yeah. I've seen and sort of feel the impact, right, of this ecosystem. And it's interesting to me because I started way back in the caveman days and, you know, way before Arduino was around, but to see it, you know, clearly move from a maker hobbyist ecosystem to sort of integrating or butting up against the professional hardware is really interesting, but kind of a game changer too. Like it saves a ton of work when you can just plug something in and it works, right? And it's easy to source and it's cheap and, you know, really helps to, I can't imagine the impact this has on a lot of startup companies.
And indeed. I mean, the barrier to entry has been very much lowered.
Yeah.
But then at the back end, you can get caught with, because some things.
Yeah.
The standard, you know, help desk problem. Like, well, it works on my laptop kind of thing. Well, that'll happen.
Yeah.
But
well, and you have to learn to grow up. You know, once you do the proof of concept and say you are a hardware, whatever device startup of some kind, and then you have to grow up and produce it, and you know that brings a lot of goodies to the party, like you said, working with CMs or creating a functional BOM and all these things. So it's fascinating. So you know, Arduino. I know you wrote something about sort of the history of Arduino, and you told me something really interesting because, I mean, I think, again, because I've been clearly on the professional hardware side, I didn't know Arduino was in Italy, and you said you're going to visit them soon.
Yep.
And so I asked you the other day, So is Arduino an Italian word? So can you tell us about the name Arduino and then just give us a thumbnail sketch? If you have that history somewhere, I'd love to throw it in the show notes because I think it would be really interesting. Is that something you wrote?
Well, there is, you know, I've given a couple classes on the history of Arduino because I've, again, walked through personally the drama that was Arduino of the past couple of years, and people who are listening to this podcast who are familiar are also familiar. Arduino, the name, is the name of a bar in Italy.
I love that.
In a town where there's a design institute that Massimo Bonzi taught, and they used to gather to talk about how this system progressed. It all started from a gentleman named Hector Barragán, who developed the processing language, which you still install processing on your laptop or in your PCs, and that transcribed into Massimo and Gianluca Martino and David Quartalis and Tom Igo and some others into moving forward with the wiring language. And it wasn't, Arduino just wasn't a hardware. People would think of Arduino as just the hardware platform. It's the software system that made it easy. That was the key. For years, hardware manufacturers like Atmel, like Microchip, we've all tried in vain to get the embedded space to this level.
Right.
Arduino got it. It was the magic combination of easy to use hardware. You didn't need a programmer. You just needed a USB cable. And the IDE, although, you know, somewhat limiting in the professional, you know, environment, we all understand that, so does Arduino, absolutely, it took all the detail, the nitty-gritty away from it. So things progressed. There was a divorce. There was a reconciliation. Things are all pretty nice and happy now. But, yeah, that's where their name Arduino came from.
That's interesting.
A bar in Italy.
I love those funny backstories. So another thing we were talking about recently is sort of, as far as your talk goes, right? I was saying, well, how would you define, you know, who this would be of interest to? And you told me that you identify that sort of person as a professional maker. So can you talk about what you think a professional maker is and identify, you know, why this is, you know, Arduino has become so relevant to this population?
Yeah, certainly. So a key focus again for Microchip is you know, we have the maker to market, which describes that progression. The pro maker is, he might be an electrical engineer or mechanical engineer or some other technologist that has recognized a problem or has this idea and has used Arduino or Arduino-like system to implement that solution. But in the back of their minds, they're always relatively aware of the consequences is the wrong term, the implications of going into production, of making this a real product.
Right.
It's always in the back. They understand, well, geez, they're going, well, this is not quite testable, or this is, I'm going to have trouble moving this production because this one part takes 3.5 hours to carve out, you know, things like that. There are, again, lots of great ideas that come from the hobbyists or the weekend makers, which, you know, I just want to make something cool for my kid or whatever, and that's fine. I'm more than willing, and I love talking to these people at Maker Faires as well. But again, the pro maker has got a bit more of a technical background and is cognizant of some of the things that they're going to have to address if they really want to move this forward.
Right.
These are the people, you know, will hopefully be, you know, attending my talk. I mean, if you're coming there to, you know, get real hardcore depths in routing Arduino or the magic of Arduino, it's not going to be quite there. I'm going to tell you some guidance around some of the Microchip parts that are used in Arduino platforms. Right. But at the end of the day, I would, you know, come and be entertained or enlightened on what hardware-wise makes an Arduino platform, the various classes of Arduino platforms, the footprints, and learn how to extend your knowledge of systems or circuit design into making, being able to drop these, what I call the Arduino, I call them ACEs, Arduino computing elements, and I'm trying to push that on Arduino into a design easily. What in your circuit, because you'd want to like upset the apple cart and change the whole programming paradigm. So that's, again, I'm appealing, and I really hope that this appeals to the pro makers out there, because if you're attending an Altium Lime conference, this is a unique opportunity for me to talk to a very good target audience that I've been meaning to talk to for years.
Right.
So I'm really looking forward to that part, because these are hardware oriented people as well.
Yeah, for sure. And another thing for our audience is Microchip will also have a table there, and we'll, you know, still have the opportunity to engage with Microchip on, you know, in a variety of ways while you're there. So we certainly encourage you to come and see Bob and interact with Microchip and Bob at the conference. So one thing I wanted to mention to you is that one of the, you know, kind of well-known hardware PCB design people, I don't know if you know him, Bob, his name's Eric Bogatin. He will be one of our keynotes. And as far as hardware engineers go, you know, he's written stuff. He's always a celebrated speaker at conferences. And this will be Eric's second year being a speaker at Altium Live, and people love listening to Eric. And when I asked him, what do you want to talk about? What he talked about is so much overlaps with you, because what he wants to talk about is what happens when you go within, say, some of these ecosystems pull off a reference design from an Arduino board that sometimes, from a professional standpoint, it can build in some bad design habits if you're not careful. So he's going to talk about how you can sharpen up, you know, your design habits, you know, when you move from Arduino into professional or production ready. So you guys are kind of looking at two sides of the same coin. He's just looking at it from a purist point of whatever. Say it causes you to pick up some bad routing practices or something that might introduce EMI or something, you know, and he's going to talk about that. So I'm kind of interested to hear how your talk sort of fit together and, you know, are like I said, two sides of the same coin. So
yeah, I was reading some of the bio and what he was going to talk about, and yeah, I'm looking forward to actually talking to Eric one-to-one on discussing some of that. Interestingly enough, that also applies in Arduino in the software environment. Coincidentally, because there are things that Arduino made to make it easier can introduce some bad software coding habits. It glosses over errors or mistakes that people should actually be paying attention to. But again, they well understood it, and stepping that back and teaching people again proper software coding habits. There's a lot of again, the Arduino software library is actually very well written, and it's a good reference, and I'm certainly would be more than willing to talk to people about that more at the conference, rather than, you know, spending a lot of time during my talk about hardware.
Right.
Hardware wise, yeah, again, there's always trade-offs, right? And the enemy of better is best, right?
Right.
And with what they did, it was, they made the right compromises, and the success of it is
unquestioned. Yeah, it's right, undisputed,
yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, but absolutely. So I think there'll be a lot of, as you said, overlap, because just the constraints they were going under or these other ecosystems are going under, just to make it easier to use. Absolutely.
Well, so. I found it fascinating. To me, it speaks to the power of Arduino with professional designers right now that Eric would choose that talk. Usually he's talking about signal integrity or noise control or, I don't know, routing diff pairs or something, you know, something like that.
Right.
And I just found it really fascinating that what he chose to talk about was Arduino and kind of making that transition, which is similar to what you're talking about. And again, right. This is something I personally get excited about, that I get to be the matchmaker between Bob Martin and Eric Bogatin. You know, or that Altium gets to do that in the form of Altium Live. I think that's part of the power of us actually getting out from behind some screens and meeting face to face and having these discussions or the attendees having discussions with you and Eric. And so I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm sure it'll be a fantastic talk. We're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I as coming back to your comment about engineers not having social skills, the one thing I've always loved to get up in front of a large audience and tell a story. So when I submit my material, I'm sure, what's her name, Amanda or whatever? She might freak out. It's going, there's not enough slides here. Well, I'll add some more slides. But, you know, sometimes I can talk to a slide for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, right? For everybody watching this podcast, I'm not a slide reader. If there are points on the slide, I'm not going to read them to you. I'm going to assume that if you're at an Altium Live conference and you use Altium Designer that you can read. I am going to tell stories. Okay, that's how I get my presentation.
Well, and I'm sorry, you know, I am also a storyteller, and I love stories, and it's how we remember things. Right, and it's as old as human history, things being passed down in the form of stories. So I think it actually sticks better instead of, as people say, death by PowerPoint, right?
Yeah.
Because that doesn't stick. It doesn't stick in any meaningful way. So no worries about the lack of slides. I know that you're very well spoken, and we're going to really look forward to your talk. And thank you so much for agreeing to do it again. We look forward to your talk and Pete's talk. And the last thing I wanted to ask you is sort of the back end of the first question I asked you was, I call it designers after hours. So what I wanted to ask you, Bob, is what do you do in your spare time when you have free time?
Well, apart from, you know, being a parent of a high school 14-year-old twin daughters, but that's aside from that, again, I'm a maker, so my cathartic stuff is, you know, as my wife looks at me, are you playing a video game? No, I'm routing boards, right? the red and the green. It's like, you're playing chess? No, I'm routing boards. What? And then a package shows up on the... So, I love to tinker just to experiment with, you know, some of the new parts that Microchip came out, or, you know, I've got this idea, and I think it would be a really good demo for a trade show or something like that, or... it's not... Unfortunately, yeah, it's Silicon Valley disease. It's not work-life balance, it's work-life integration, but I find it fun. The other thing I like to do is I'm a big audio guy, so I love classic vintage stereo equipment, so eBay is my friend and my enemy at the same time. because I remember falling in love with certain pieces of audio equipment when I was in high school, and now I have, you know, not all the disposable cash to buy the speakers that, you know, some of the speakers I want, but certainly some deals will come up. So, and with the vinyl revival happening now, it's fun to be able to go into stores like, was it H&M now sells records?
What? H&M, the clothing store?
The clothing store sells records.
You know what, Bob? You only know about H&M because you have twin daughters that are 14, because I have daughters, and no, I've spent a little too much time in H&M.
Yeah, so seriously, that's the only you nailed it.
Nailed it.
Nailed it, yeah. That's the only reason I go near H&M.
I had no idea they had records.
They have records, you know, and, you know, now other stores, you know, and there's this really great record store down in the Central Coast that I visited, so I spent a little bit too much money there too. But yeah, I think between that and again, the garage is a mess, but I just like building things. I've taken apart enough stuff now. I still do once in a while, but now I enjoy building things, and it keeps me busy. It's very cathartic. Woodworking is also great because it's very... my grandfather was a carpenter, a journeyman carpenter.
Oh, so gosh. Bob, have you seen our... You probably haven't. I'm going to share it with you. Maybe I'll put it in the show notes, too. We have a friend. He's Jeremy Blum, who's a Power All-Team user. And we met Jeremy, and Jeremy is also... like Arduino. I think he wrote a book about Arduino. You have to look for jeremyblum.com. But anyways, he works for a startup in the Bay Area called Shaper Tools, and it's a handheld CNC machine that does the most unbelievable stuff you've ever seen now. And I'll share that in the show notes because it is uber cool. And we shot a video at their shop up there. And now instead of a SIM module on my keychain, I carry a chunky wood State of California.
Okay.
That's pretty intricate that I personally woodworking background that I personally cut out with a Shaper tool. It's I think it's called a Shaper Origin. Phenomenal. Okay. So they were a startup. They've been acquired now by a tool company out of Europe. And anyways, you need one of these.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Whatever. Okay. Dig into your stash. Don't buy records for a few months and go get one of those. You'll really enjoy it. So I'll share that. I'll share it in the show notes, too, for our audience who hasn't seen Jeremy's stuff in the past. So it's that thing is... amazing. So it auto corrects. So you just load up Fusion 360, any shape, and then you it has a capacitive touchscreen.
Okay.
And you scan, it has this thing called shaper tape, and you scan the surface, and it knows where it is in 3D space, and uh-huh. then it auto-corrects the jig that is spinning, and it cuts perfectly with no
nice.
Mistakes, and yeah, anyways.
I'll
rabbit
go track
hole.
Down Jeremy, too. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, another thing that I love being part of this community, you're right. So... Well, Bob, thank you. I can't thank you enough. It's been really fun to learn about you and learn about the work you're doing and meet with the actual Wizard of Make. And we're going to really look forward to seeing you in San Diego. And just thanks so much for all you do.
Thank you so much. It's been fun. And I look forward to seeing everybody and meeting Eric and Jeremy and meeting you in person. It's always, and Ben and I always have good conversations. So yeah, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. Well, to our audience, thanks so much for joining and listening into this conversation with myself and Bob Martin from Microchip. Registration is open for Altium Live San Diego, October 9th through 11th, or Frankfurt, October 21 through 23. We hope you can join us there as well. So thanks for joining us today. We'll see you next time. Until then, remember to always stay on track.